The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 27th day of July, 2023. And tonight we have a whole lot to talk about. And tonight our producer is none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And here my in the studio, my live guest, an old time friend of mine, Joe Marshall. Say hello, Joe.
Hi, Pastor.
Alrighty there. And we have a new younger fellow here tonight, Trevor Kane. Say hey.
Howdy, Pastor.
Okay. And Leaping Lizards, it's Little Lisa.
Good evening, amen. Everyone.
All right, there you go. Lisa can sit in tonight, but she can't say anything. All right, so anyhow, we're going to pick it up now. The title of the message, well, the topic was we were looking at AI, because all of the talk about artificial intelligence, it just had that big summit meeting with all the high-tech boys on discussing how to keep AI in its box, how not to let it get out of its box and destroy the entire population of planet Earth. Okay, this is what they've been talking about now. There is artificial intelligence, but then there's AUI. Now, AUI is different. AUI is absolute, unlimited, if you will, or absolute ultimate intelligence. And there's only one absolute ultimate intelligence. And that's what we've been taking a look at. We've been matching up, showing you what AI can do and what God can do. And we're going to pick it up tonight in Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, as we go through here. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. You hear that, Joe Biden? The Lord hath his way in the whirlwinds and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now look, he's making a point, and he's making a point that God can use the weather to fulfill his wishes, okay? But who else can use, has the ability to manipulate the weather, to also at times use it to accomplish his goals? I think the book of Job tells us about that, okay? Remember when God says, all right, you can go ahead, but don't kill Job. And what did Satan do? Well, he used the weather, didn't he? He used lightning, he brought fire down from the sky, he did. He brought in whirlwinds, tornadoes, and destroyed. So he also had the ability to manipulate the weather.
Yeah.
Verse 4, he rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, dried up the rivers, Bashan, Languish, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes numb. Here, he hasn't really, although actually if you take a look at the Dead Sea, it's drying up. The Dead Sea is drying up. If you've been to Israel lately, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But I think he's more talking about during, this is what he will be doing during the tribulation period. Well, he will be driving these rivers up. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. That is, he's going to burn the earth off, isn't he? And he's going to rebuild it, remake it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is a good stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust him. And, of course, the day of trouble is probably referring to specifically the tribulation period here. Mm-hmm. And so you have, that's one of the big controversies, Joe, where people keep telling you that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. It would absolutely make, it would be totally contrary to the will of God, because the tribulation period has a purpose. The purpose is to purify the nation of Israel, and also to punish the rebellious lost sinners. Now, so where does the church fit in there? Anywhere? No.
It doesn't.
But he tells you several places in Scripture where the church will not feel God's wrath, okay? Mm-hmm. We will not go through the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't stutter. It's kind of real clear, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
He's not appointed us under wrath.
Pull your mic out towards you. You want to keep that about 4 inches from your face. Okay, yeah.
Okay, got
okay.
it.
Okay, and so here, then he says, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. That certainly does sound like the end of the tribulation period. And so when we take a look at God, first of all, does God have an equal?
No.
No? Where does God's boundaries lie? He has no boundaries. God sets the boundaries, okay? God's boundaries literally transcend time. Is God limited by time?
No.
Okay, so does time serve God or does God serve time?
Time serves God.
So time is what God says it is, right? Remember what Nietzsche said? Nietzsche said, this great philosopher, he used to compliment himself on his great intelligence continuously. But he said that God made man in his image, and now through technology, man will return the favor. In other words, now through technology, God will be what man says he is. I don't think so. Okay, so now God's abilities transcends time. Time is what God says time will be. Remember, before there was time, God existed. He was pre-existent. So time was what? A measurement from moment to moment, to happening, from point A to point B is the measurement. Now, space. God's boundaries transcend space, doesn't it? So now, are all of these things today, all of these dimensions out there, are, as far as the human capacity goes, are they all limited? I mean, Are we limited to the amount of time we have, or are we limited to the amount of space we have? Yes. Right? I mean, you're not going to live for another 100 years, are you, Joe?
Hope not.
Okay, so
I hope we're out of here today.
So now,
or tonight, rather.
So we have seen the effect that time has had on us, but it has no effect on God. Okay, now, I said all of that because all of these things are limited to what God allows. Now, what did Satan do in Job 1? He was limited to who set his boundaries? God set his boundaries. He said, here, I'll let you do this, but don't kill him. Okay, right? So God sets the boundaries. Now, when it comes to artificial intelligence, does it have limitations?
Sure.
Okay. Does artificial intelligence reach the far, far boundaries of outer space? No. Artificial intelligence is exactly that. Now, where does this intelligence come from? It comes from programming, right? Now, who programs these things? Is God programming artificial intelligence, or is man programming artificial intelligence? Is man flawed?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, let me ask you a question, too. Knowing the people that have run these and these great minds so far that have put together these computer programs for artificial intelligence, are these people that you would say are godly people, faithful people, are these people who believe more like science is a god within itself?
The latter, I believe.
Pardon?
Yeah. The latter.
The latter. And so then we would see that artificial intelligence, for example, it was just asked, artificial intelligence was just asked recently, was the 2020 election stolen? Where was there election fraud? And AI said no. What does that tell you? It lied to you right out of the box, huh? Okay.
Right out of the box.
Yeah, so we got to try to keep AI in the box, don't we? I want to go over now to Isaiah chapter 24. In Isaiah chapter 24, just two verses. Well, verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like cottage. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise. Okay. What is he telling you about? What is that all about? The earth is going to be restored to its pre-flood condition, is what what Isaiah is telling you. Now, let me ask you this. Could AI have access to any of that information or knowledge? Okay. God is eternal. Okay. He was pre-existent. He's always existed. Okay. Now, God has a complete and total knowledge of the past. How much of a knowledge do you think AI has of the past? Because artificial intelligence, again, has the intelligence of what was programmed into it, okay? Now look, it was programmed into it by people that tell you, like Carl Sagan, 50 billion years ago, there was nothing. I remember Carl Sagan saying this, I believe he said 20 billion years ago, there was nothing. There was no you, there was no me, there was nothing. And then there was a chasmatic explosion. And out of that chiasmatic explosion, everything exists came. So he was referring to the Big Bang Theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I think I got this done, figured out. A long time ago, when there was nothing, there was no material even in existence, somebody who wasn't there used an energy force that didn't exist to ignite non-existing material, and it exploded, and here we are.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Okay. Just ask AI, it'll tell you, right?
Right.
I think God has quite an advantage over AI.
Yeah.
Okay, so when this takes place, what I just read here, what will happen to AI? AI will cease to exist. It will no longer exist. And so I want to go to Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to finish here with this tonight. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveal the deep and the secret things he knoweth. What is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him." Now, that kind of says that wisdom, all wisdom, and I mean wisdom, and all might belongs to God. Kind of says that, doesn't it?
No.
God is omnipotent. He's omniscient, okay? And he's omnipresent. AI now, how does the Antichrist system try to appear? The Antichrist system today that we're living in, it tries to appear omnipotent, but it tries to appear omnipresent. How does it try to appear omnipresent? Everywhere you go, there's cameras. Cameras here, cameras there. So they're looking at you, right? You've got this computer system. You go into a restaurant. You sit down. Your smart aleck phone tells you that the special in that restaurant you happen to be in at that time is such and such. So what is it telling you? It's telling you that we're tracking you. We know exactly where you're at. We know when you're there, okay? And in the past, you've ordered this, and you might like it here. So what does that tell you? That's the Antichrist system trying to appear omnipresent through technology. But only God can actually be omnipresent, huh? So, I mean, it can only give you off, the AI can only give you an appearance of that. But anyhow, we're going to stop right there. And I have with me here tonight Joe Marshall. And Joe Marshall, you have the AV Sign Ministry. And you are with the Calvary Baptist Church at White Pond Drive in Akron, aren't you?
Actually, we're not. We're with, I've got to change that prayer card. We're with Ambassador Baptist Church in Wadsworth now.
Oh, Wadsworth. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And so tell me. Well, I know all about your sign ministry because you've been out to our church for several times, and you've brought all these signs. So what was the impetus? What made you get into the sign ministry?
Pastor, just from the get-go, I've always had a burden just to get signs out. Even when the Lord sent me over to Australia as a missionary back in 84, we took signs over there and put signs up. And made signs over there and put them on the highways and byways. And it's just always been in me, sort of, kind of thing, you know?
Well, I had some lady tell me a while back, she says, I know exactly where you live, and it's because of the signs you had, the big ones. You had these big metal signs that are about 3 feet wide and about, I think, about 4 feet long, the gospel signs. And here, they have Bible verses on them. And I have one big one put on my garage out there. And then, of course, at our church, we have them all through the front yard. So when people come down, they take a look. It's God's word. It's hitting them, right?
Amen.
And what if we had those signs at every church all around this country?
Had good. Right, yeah.
Right out, all along the highway. Wouldn't that be good to have
them
along? Oh,
yeah, no doubt about it.
The highway there. And so you're going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church on the 6th of August, right?
August 6th, yep.
August 6th in the morning service is at... Are you going to be there in the morning or evening? Do you want to be?
Be there in the morning.
Morning service at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Are you going to have a whole bunch of these gospel signs with you?
Yep. I'm going to have the whole repertoire with me. Yeah, anybody that comes will get a free sign, a free gospel sign. And, yep, anybody that comes will get a free gospel sign that day on August 6th at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Yep.
So... you're holding one in this picture. He that hath the Son hath life. So that is witnessing out there by putting that sign out like we have it at our church. I have it in my home, my house. I mean, yeah. I got the yard down there filled with gospel signs. So as they drive by down there, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. They'll read that. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I have all of these signs, so... Every time somebody goes by, they read them, and maybe sometime it starts to register, huh?
That's right, brother. You're anytime the Bible says, he that's the sower soweth the word, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And you never go wrong, sowing the word of God. You know, sometimes you can go wrong reaping. Sometimes it get them a little green, but you never go wrong. So when you put the word of God out, like in your front yard or in your church, and people drive by and they see that scripture, you've planted a seed in their heart. And if that person ever gets saved, well, you had a part in their salvation. People find that hard to believe, but it's true. God uses the word of God to draw people to himself. He said in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, turn yet my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So God wants to make known his word to the world. And he says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. So somehow there's a connection there with the Spirit of God in the word of God. You know, Pastor, nobody has ever gotten saved without the word of God. I mean, God always uses his word to bring people under conviction of their sin, to draw them to himself, and finally save them. He always uses the word of God. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Of his own will, the Bible says, begot he us with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you put the word of God out, you're sowing the word of God. And you say, well, Pastor, you say, well, what about all those people that don't get saved? Well, you've warned them. You've warned them. The Bible says, warning every man and teaching every man, we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And when they stand before God one day, and if they don't get saved, they stand before God. God may say to them, Lord, I never knew. And the Lord might say, well, what about that time you went by Pastor Sanders' house and saw that scripture in his front yard, and I spoke to your heart, but you just kind of refused it. And so God uses his word either to save people or warn them. He uses it, and it works, keeps working 24/7. If you put the word of God out there, you don't have to pay it support. You don't have to get out there and coax it every day. It's going to do his work 24/7. There's nothing like God's word. There's nothing like it in the whole world.
We use a lot of your signs out there at the bloody abortion mills when we're out there saving babies.
Man.
The wages of sin is death.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Corruption runs in government when heaven's under siege. And boy, I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is look at our government. You know heaven is really under siege.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe, I want to go back to Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. Before we do, though, real quick, I wanted to say this coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Church, we will have the yard signs to vote yes on issue one. We will have the yard signs at Doers of the Word Baptist Church out there. And also, we have a limited number of magnetic signs for your cars, to put on your cars. We have to win this. This issue, when it's not a, this is not a political issue. It's a sin issue. It is a sin issue. We cannot lose this. If we lose this, you lose parental rights. If we lose this, you're going to use 50 years of pro-life legislation that we fought like the dickens to pass to save babies.
Yeah.
Folks, if we lose this, not only that, but we have a little clip. Do you have that little 15-second clip? Go ahead and play that. This is the mayor of Cleveland.
Use our real political power to change the culture of guns in this state. It starts by voting no on issue one, by the way, to make sure we can maybe put a ballot measure on our state constitution to have common sense gun reform.
Yeah. See, they call gun confiscation reform. That's what they call reform. And so he came out that the end goal for there also is to confiscate our guns, to disarm the American people. Folks, you've got to vote yes on issue one. You've got to vote yes on issue one. And like I said, this coming Sunday, we will have the signs there in the afternoon. If you want to stop by in the afternoon, anytime around 4 o'clock, we will have the signs there, and we will also have the magnetic signs. We've got to win this. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative. Now,
amen.
You know, the Bible tells you from Genesis to Revelations that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist
right.
tyranny is always disobedience to God. Now, if we go over to Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, the sword of the Spirit is what? It's the word of God, isn't it? The sword
yes.
of the Spirit,
yep.
which is the word of God.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Let me ask you this, and so let me ask you this. So what, in which of those signs that you have, Joe, with all the Bible verses on it, which of those Bible verses are a two-edged sword?
All of them.
Absolutely, all of them. Now, so then let me ask you this. Which is the most powerful? Is it the written or the spoken word of God? Both.
Both, yeah.
Both,
yeah.
Are the two-edged sword here now. So he goes on to say, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, a lot of people don't understand the difference between the soul and the spirit. The soul is who you are. Your soul is your personality. That's who you are. Now, your spirit is your life force, your quickening life force. If you're saved, then that life force is energized by the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, then that life force is energized by something else, huh? The opposition. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about this here. And so now here, the only thing that can actually make it discern, because the soul and the spirit, they operate so much in concert, Joe, that only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, only that two-edged sword can really show you where one leaves off and the other picks up, huh? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to leave off here tonight, right there. And so, again, we're back with Joe Marshall. He is going to be here, the AV. What does the AV stand for?
Authorized Version.
Oh, okay. So you actually believe that God didn't give us 100 different versions of the Bible or perversions, but he gave us one, right? I mean,
amen.
So is the King James Bible sufficient?
Absolutely. God only wrote one Bible.
Now, is it superior to all the others?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, okay? Over the years, in my pro-life activity, I've been arrested and charged many, many times. And guess what? We beat them every single time in court. No. Whenever if I was arrested by myself, if I was the only one charged, I could defend myself with my own venue. And my venue is the King James Bible. Now, it's the only Bible that you can use, okay? Do you know why it's the only Bible you can use to defend yourself?
Because it's God's Word.
Well, it's the word of God, but they'll ask you what sovereign nation, okay, is that King James Bible authorized a book of law? The King James Bible is an authorized book of law recognized by most countries today. Now, It's the only one that I could use to defend myself. Now, if there was other people charged with the same thing, in these courts, they wouldn't let me defend myself, because if I tried to do that, then they would actually tell me I could be charged with practicing law without a license.
Right, right, right.
Okay. And so, but when by myself, this here, the authorized book of law, it's the only authorized book of law, okay? Mm. Now, there's something else about the King James Bible. It's the only one that's not copyrighted.
That's right, but nobody's making any money on it.
So, but you can, we can copy it word for word. You can copy it, I can copy it, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have to pay anybody any royalties,
that's right?
King James Bible kind of seems to sit out there all by itself. It seems to be superior to all the others, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I knew that. No.
Yeah, there's, I believe, what is it, 16 omissions of all the new versions of the Bible have at least a minimum of 16 verses cut out of the Bible. Now, there's a couple of them that, like the New King James, might not have those omitted, but still it has hundreds and hundreds of other differences in it also. It's the only one that's taken from the Textus Receptus in the right Hebrew text.
Well, do you remember when they brought the ASV out? And they were talking about how thin it was, this new, how easy to carry into the church, this new lightweight Bible. Yep. Well, the reason it was lightweight is they cut out 64,000 words. They took they took out.
Is that the ESV or the ASV?
The American Standard Version. Yeah.
Some of the differences.
I'm sorry, no, it was the NIV, the so-called New International Version. Okay. Yeah, so
some of the differences, you know, like for instance, First Timothy 3:16, King James Bible reads, "God was manifest in the flesh." Well, if you got a new version of the Bible, it cuts out God, puts "He was manifest in the flesh."
Well, they take God out a lot in many places.
It cuts
out the NIV totally removes the blood too.
Yeah, and it says in I believe that's Colossians 1:14, the King James reads, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." If you got a new version of the Bible, you won't find the blood in there. Colossians 1:14.
I read the ESV, so how would that, you know, in your opinion, differ from King James in a lot of ways?
I don't know much about the ESV. I know, for instance, 1 John 5:7, the greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity is cut out of just about all the new versions of the Bible, if not all of them, where it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's 1 John 5:7. You'll find that cut out of all the new versions of the Bible, just about. Don't quote me on that. If you can find one that's in there, I stand corrected, but most of them will cut that out. See, God only wrote one Bible, and there can't be 10 different ones, 20 ones. He's preserved His Word. In Psalm 12, verses 6 to 8, He says, "I'll preserve My Word from this generation forever." You say, well, could God preserve a book? He created the universe. He surely can preserve a book.
You would think so.
I was reading that in Genesis today, Pastor, the Genesis account, where He says He created the universe, and He made the stars also, just with the word of His mouth. He made the stars also. That's a great God we got. You know, He is the creator of the universe. We didn't come from monkeys, you know, like the evolutionists try to tell us, although the way some people act, sometimes you wonder, you know. But Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. And the Bible says, and He made the stars also, there in the Genesis account.
So if we were to ask AI about evolution, do you think we'd get... so, all right, very good. Okay, we're going to go over here. We have a fellow here who, his name is Trevor Kane. And Trevor, you got yourself in some trouble, and you're looking for some help because you happened to be in Washington on January 6th, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
2021. We would have been there. And at the last minute, we were all set to go. And the fellow that had the van and the co-pilot, if you will, both of them came down with a bad case of stomach flu. And so we canceled our trip. It was too late for us to go. So we would have been there, and I'd have probably been in jail too.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah. So tell us about what happened on that day when you went there to Washington, D.C. Tell us, because they want you put you back in jail, don't they?
Well, it's I met with the FBI twice, was arrested on June 26 after 2.5 years of cooperating after January 6th. But, yeah, we just went on a bus trip down there, 7 buses from the Cleveland area, and it was real, you know, just kind of grassroots, organic, bunch of patriots got together, and I think we left at 1, 2 a.m., something like that, so we could get there, went and watched the speech, like so many thousands of us. You know, we thought we were going to just listen to Trump speak and then head on over to the Capitol, and we had no idea that it was would turn out to be such a consequential day.
Okay, so when you went over to the Capitol, now I've watched films and films of that, and I saw the Capitol Police motioning people to come on in into the Capitol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I watched that shaman guy as the police took him through there, took him where, you know, wherever he wanted to go, you know. I just recently, the former police chief of D.C. came right out and said that the place was crawling with FBI insurgents, okay? In other words, these are federal rogue agents out there to cause the problem. So this whole thing was a false flag. It was a setup from the very beginning, an absolute. Now, the wrong people are in jail. The people behind this, that should be, Merrick Garland should be in jail. Christopher Wray should be in jail. Nancy Pelosi should be in jail. That January 6th so-called committee, every single one in there is corrupt. So now not only have there been people sitting there for a couple of years, 2 years, without, still don't have a trial yet, haven't got a trial. But you had 5 Christian patriots were murdered. They were murdered.
That's right.
By cowardly, dirty cops. Cowardly. I mean, really cowardly. Mr. Byrd and others. Very dirty cops, okay? One who had shot a lady, Miss Babbitt.
Unarmed.
Unarmed woman.
110 pounds.
102, shot her openly, put a gun right up into her face, okay? Cowardly. I mean, just as cowardly as cowards get. I'd love to run into him face to face, okay? If I ever do, I can tell you what, he's going to get the word of God. He's going to find out what a two-edged sword would do if I ever had the opportunity. In fact, I would love to be able to, when Congress is in session, go in there and lock the doors where they couldn't get out there, Joe, and just preach them heaven sweet hell out. Watch what the word of God can do, okay? Because those people need to hear it there.
It reminds me, Pastor, of, at first I was thinking it was more like the Boston Tea Party, because, I mean, history was in the air when we were there. I mean, I'm a history major, and, you know, when you're a history major, you wind up sometimes in historical events, but, I mean, history was in the air, and it was really more like the Boston Massacre, because we had 5 patriots. We include Officer Sicknick in that because he was a patriot, and he did not die, by the way, from Trump supporters like the lying media said for at least up to a year, that Trump supporters beat a officer with a fire extinguisher or something. Total lie. He died 48 hours later from a heart issue that he had had. I'm sure that day didn't help with his condition, but Trump supporters were the only people that died that day. Ashley Babbitt being murdered. Roseanne Boylan was also.
One woman was trampled to death and then beaten by 2 cowardly, dirty cops. Beaten. On film. We watched the whole thing on film.
But it blows me away, the Boston Massacre, that there was 4 patriots who were shot dead that tragic day by the British. And it's, but yeah, history was in the air that day. And I always want everybody to know, I mean, it was it was a messy day. I only can speak for myself, like we all can. You know, each man stands or falls by his own actions. But right before, 10 minutes before I went into the building, we had a prayer circle. You know, I mean, we were crying out to the Lord, God, you got to do something. I remember crying out to the Lord, you got to do something biblical. You know, I mean, you grow up reading all, hearing all the biblical stories, but it was like, Lord, you have to do something biblical. And I'll never forget crying with a guy. He had a 1776 cowboy hat on. And then little did I know that it would come with such persecution for peacefully just walking through a building that day. But I do believe it was a prophetic experience, a prophetic declaration of the people of this land standing up to the wickedness in high places of just the day before. I think Pelosi said you could not say mother, brother, father, sister, any gendered language in, you know, our nation's capital. I mean, nothing could be more absurd and dark than that. So, and then the January 6th was the day where we were going through and singing the battle hymn of the Republic, that his truth goes marching on. So that was pretty powerful.
What took place on that day was treason against the people of the United States of America, okay? You had, again, it was a false flag movement. Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, when he told to go to the Capitol, he said, peacefully, peacefully, okay? Now, I watched him. Everybody knew that. These people are scared to death, these insurgents. They are scared to death of Donald Trump. These are the deep state. And they're scared to death of him because he knows now where the bodies are buried. You see, Trump's learned a lot since the last time. We have Mike Gill on here. And Mike Gill, he has done, in fact, we need to get him back, a lot of research. And here, this is where you get the Pandora Papers. The Pandora Papers. They have all the names and all the body counts, all the members, what's happening there, okay? They know this. You know, when you talk about Ukraine, okay, we told people, you know, years ago, Ukraine was, you know, where the world's dirty money exchange is. This is where they launder money. In the United States, the Ukraine of the United States is New Hampshire. It's the money laundering capital of the United States, New Hampshire. Most people don't know that, okay? But the Ukraine. Now, Trump was aware of all of what was happening in here. He was aware, too, of all of this human trafficking and what's taking place. He knows about where all the children have been trafficked. Thousands and thousands and thousands of children are missing. Look, we told you, from the very beginning, the Chinese Communist Party, the top generals, were laughing before Joe Obama, before Biden even came into office. They were telling their people, we had it out of here. We said, do you hear what they're saying? That they had their agents in the highest places in the United States government. Joe Biden was an agent for the Communist Party, Chinese Party. Joe Biden's job, one, was to keep the borders open, to keep our southern borders open, to keep fentanyl that China was sending, the fentanyl that China was sending to Mexico, where they were putting, it was being turned into pills and that, to keep that fentanyl coming into America and to keep a steady flow, especially of children, because the Democratic Communist Party in this country is flush with pedophiles. It's everyone, all of the elite. You know, people don't realize Mr. Epstein had a very, very busy island down there. And I see that that they just got that
Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, well, no, the fellow who was just with the Hollywood pedophile, Casey, I'm trying to think of his name, just got off for the third time. He just beat a third-time rap of pedophilia, okay? But the Democratic Party is flush with pedophiles. It's flush with pedophiles. Again, like I said, all of the elite, anyone who's anyone in the Democratic Party is involved with that. The Clintons were heavily duty involved with Epstein's Island. You saw Bill Gates. That's why his wife, Melinda, left him, because he was so involved with Epstein's Island, okay? Most of your big high-tech guys were all involved.
And isn't it interesting that they are all against this new Sound of Freedom movie, the leftist media outlets?
Well, yeah, you see. And that's also what's happening with this, why we tell you vote yes on August 8th on the amendment number one, vote yes on August 8th. And the reason for that is the very same people that are behind this, trying to push this new agenda in what they call the women's reproductive rights. These are the same people that have brought in Planned Parenthood. How many millions did they say? Tell us tonight. We found out the Planned Parenthood brought into something like 40 million into Ohio.
Yes.
And all of this dark money coming from George Soros, all this from out of state into Ohio. Because Ohio, if we can stop them here, they know this, then they're cooked. But if we can't, if Ohio goes down, there's five other states will follow it very quickly. And so this is why it's such a battle, because the same people that are involved with all this human trafficking, all this child sex trafficking, are the people that are behind this issue one to stop us. That's why they're to stop issue one. This is why you must vote yes. You must vote yes on issue one, folks. It's imperative that you do that. And so, again, this is all out war. This is for the hearts and the minds and the very souls of our children in this country today. And so, anyhow, it goes back to what you're talking about. Those are the same people there. When you're talking about, these were enemies of freedom, enemies of the Constitution, domestic
enemies. Yeah, they hit a movie called The Sound of Freedom. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's how that's been going crazy on the internet, of just how much the leftist media outlets have been trying to completely discredit Sound of Freedom. And, you know,
it's surpassing. It's going up there. Because people understand now, the so-called mainstream media has lost credibility. It's the most lost all credibility. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with radio programs like this, okay? They failed to silence us, although they've tried very, very hard. They failed to silence us. We're coming up to a break. And when we come, okay, when we come back from the break, we're going to do, play a clip. And I think we're going to open up the phone lines, but now, when we come back, first, before we play a clip, you can tell us, the folks out there, what they can do, because you're going to need some help.
Yes, sir.
You really don't want to go back to that dirty Washington jail, do you?
Well, thankfully, I haven't been there, but I was in Akron for 8 long hours before I saw the judge. But, yeah, I need GiveSendGo is my account on GiveSendGo. Just search Trevor Kane. And you can find me there, and any donations for any of you beautiful Christians and patriots out there will be much appreciated. That's givesendgo.com.
All right, we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance.
Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.